I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. I'd like to read a scripture before we sing a hymn. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Job. The book of Job, the 23rd chapter. Job 23 and verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. Our desire tonight is that we would have soft hearts, every one of us. If there's someone here, perhaps, and you've hardened your heart to the gospel, perhaps time and again, and maybe nobody here knows it, our desire is that tonight God would soften your heart. He would soften all of our hearts as we hear this wonderful message of the gospel that we heard last night, that we heard this morning. Let's turn to our hymn sheets and sing hymn number 10. If somebody could please start that for us.
There is a
with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I was going through Walmart just a couple days ago here in town, and I've been praying as to what the Lord would have, and as I was strolling up to the checkout to pay for my purchases, the radio was on, and I don't generally hear what's going on, but occasionally I hear a comment, and the comment I heard as I was going up to the checkout on the radio was this: "Oh my God." That's what I heard on the radio. That's probably a scripture that is more quoted than any other scripture in this world. How often do we hear that scripture? Oh my God. We hear it time and time again. We hear it flippantly. We hear it as a curse word. And yet, it was those words that were uttered on the cross prophetically by our blessed Lord in his extremity. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime. Thou hearest not. 22nd Psalm. Oh my God, be not far from me. Psalm 38. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Psalm 71. We hear that so often, don't we? Oh my God. I was going through an airport a short while ago, and I was trying to make a flight, and I was in the washroom, and I was washing my hands at the sink. This great big black guy beside me is washing his hands too. There's someone else had washed their hands, and they'd gone over to the paper dispenser. They pulled out a paper towel to dry off their hands, and a whole bunch of them fell onto the floor. And he uttered those words, "Oh my God." Picked up the papers, threw them in the garbage, and went out the door. The big black guy beside me turned to me and said, "I'd prefer to say, oh my Lord," and proceeded to tell me why. Well, we only had 30 seconds or a minute together as this brother shared a few words in the gospel. I shared with him that I was a brother in Christ. We shook hands. He went his way. I went my way. Don't even know the man's name. Going to spend all eternity with him. But he said, "I prefer to say, oh my Lord." If you said that tonight, have you said that? You know, that gave birth to the subject I have in my heart tonight, and that is to look at those in the Word of God that have said, "My Lord." There's only four of them. We have many people in the Old Testament that have said, "My God," but we only read of four, I believe, that have said, "My Lord." Oh, have you said that tonight? Have you owned Jesus as Lord? You say to me concerning those people that rush it into eternity, "Ah, they're just statistics." Yes, perhaps they are just statistics. If the Lord leaves us here, every one of us here is going to become a statistic. This is the man I bought my car from that we drove here. Passed away last week. 52 years old. He owns the car dealership. No evidence whatsoever. I put a bathroom in for his folks. His folks are in their late 70s. I called them up right after he passed away. He said, "Dave, we're just devastated. And there's no evidence whatsoever that this statistic knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior, nor his parents, although they're ready to listen now." What about you tonight? As you sit there in your chair, thinking, yeah, maybe one day I am going to become a statistic. I'm going to ask this question. Ask for a show of hands. Anybody here been through this life before? Anybody been through this life before? Anyone? Not even a little finger like we had last night? Nobody? No. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Everybody here, we're all through it for the first and only time. Nobody's been here before. Every one of us, if the Lord should leave us here, are going to become a statistic. Are you ready to go? Have you said to that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, my Lord? So let's look at this first one in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. You know, I'm gonna look at another one first. Let's go to John's Gospel. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 20. It's one we had this morning. It's Mary. John's Gospel, chapter 20. And we'll pick up from the 11th verse. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away, here's our subject, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Lord, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. My Lord. You know, I just enjoy the way this little portion starts out, that Mary's at the sepulchre, and we read this, and she wept and stooped down. Oh, what a posture that everyone is going to take. We had that this morning. Every knee is going to bow. Every knee will bow. Look at this beautiful posture. And she stooped down. You know, I just returned from Egypt. And it was interesting because one of the things that we did, we went to the pyramids and wanted to see them. And the Great Pyramid, which was likely there when Abraham went down into Egypt, it has a stairway up to where the Pharaoh was buried in his sepulchre at the top of the pyramid. It's quite a climb. And it's interesting that the way he designed that pyramid, and there are these massive stones, and in that pyramid there are 2,300,000 stones. 2,300,000 stones. Massive stones. And the proportions of that pyramid, if you measure this side and you measure that side and that side, they're within 6 inches of each other. Tremendous piece. And yet this walkway that goes, and you start walking, and it goes up to the top, it's about this high. And he designed it with the steps far enough away that you have to be always bound down to him as you walked up those steps. That's the way he engineered this pyramid. And the steps are far enough away from each other that to come down, you can't come down frontwards. You have to come down the same way you went up. And so as anybody that went up there and everybody's coming down, they're all bowing down to this Pharaoh. Well, he's not there at the present time. But I thought, wow, every knee is going to bow. The posture of this blessed woman. She stooped down and she looked in. Oh, have you bowed the knee? You're going to bow. Every one of us is going to bow. Many of us here have bowed the knee here and now. I'm so thankful to be able to stand here. A happy man, you know, I was at a toll booth just 3 days ago. And I passed the girl my money and I said to her, you know, I'm a happy man. I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And she looked at me and she says, well, I hope it works for you. You know, marvelous to be able to stand here with my sins gone. Can you say, my Lord, are your sins gone? What a portion. So here we find, it says in the tomb, she looked into the sepulchre and seeth the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. You know, we had a little prayer meeting just before this gospel, and one of the brothers down there, he prayed, thanking the Lord for the resurrection and all that it means to us and all the blessing that it has brought to us. Oh, I just loved hearing that. Here we have the body, it says, where they have laid him. It's past tense. There's no, the body of the Lord Jesus, of course, was not there. The resurrection, what a marvelous thing to consider the resurrection. You know, we think of the resurrection and we think, what a marvelous thing. And yet, you know, there are so many things in this world that we look at and we think about that we just take for granted. And I mentioned this as I drove to the conference in Carrollton. Because I was going by these, in Erie, I was going by these marvelous vineyards, rows and rows and rows of grapes. And I was contemplating the sign that we have in John's Gospel where the Lord Jesus turned the water to wine. And we think, wow, what a miracle. And yet, you know, is it any less of a miracle to have the rain come down and to go into the roots of those little vines and go up the vine and then go into the grapes and be turned to grape juice and then turned to wine? It's every bit as much of a miracle. But just because it doesn't happen fast, we take it for granted. And the resurrection is the same. Think of what transpires in our area. In the wintertime, as you look at all these trees, and they look so dead. And in the springtime, everything just blooms. The resurrection. Oh, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What a marvelous thing. On what is your faith tonight? We're not talking about how much faith you have. We're talking about what it's attached to at the other end, not the amount. You know, we sing a hymn sometimes, 290 in our little flock hymn book starts off, why those fears behold to Jesus, the second verse. Though the shore we hope to land on only by report is known, yet we freely all abandon, led by that report alone. On what do you hang your soul salvation tonight? On what is it hanging? You know, that's a marvelous thing to consider. This man that passed away, I brought this because the pamphlet he was laid at a funeral home, and the funeral home is a person that I do work with. And I had a conversation with him some time ago, and he said to me, Dave, I just can't see how there's only one way. I just can't see it. And he works with all kinds of people. He embalms all kinds of people, all kinds of walks of life, all kinds of different religions. And he just said to me, he said, you know, they all go to the same place. They all go to the same place. And I wouldn't advise preaching the gospel this way, but I said to him, you know, if you're right, we're both good. But if I'm right, you're not. You know, he raised it with me again. Pray for the man, his name is Stan. He knows not the Lord Jesus as his Savior, although he's heard the gospel time and time again. I think how many times, Charlotte, your father has preached him the gospel. Time and time again. A man without Christ. Well, every knee is going to bow, just like this dear woman. She stooped down. And everyone is going to realize The Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead. Well, let's read the 14th verse here. It says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back. And she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, and the Lord Jesus is working with your soul right now, and you don't realize that it's him. Right there as you're sitting in your chair. And perhaps the Lord is knocking on your heart's door as he seeks to make himself known unto you through the word of God. Are you listening? Do you realize it's him at all? The Lord Jesus here was standing, and Mary didn't know it was the Lord Jesus. Oh, I trust that there's nobody like that here tonight. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Well, you know, in the 16th verse, Jesus says unto her, Mary, and it says, and she turned herself. Oh, if there's someone here tonight and you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, you have to do just exactly what Mary did. You have to turn yourself. You have to turn yourself. Every one of us here that knows the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we had to do the same thing. We had to turn ourselves. We had to have our thoughts in line with His. Oh, here, Mary, she turned herself. And she saith unto him, Rabboni. Here we have that expression twice in the Word. We have it in Mark 10, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Well, let's go over now to Luke's Gospel, to the next one. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, where we see the next. Two of these are women and two are men. This is also the second woman in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It's a beautiful story. It's a long one. I don't want to touch in on Mary so much, but rather on Elizabeth, who says in the 43rd verse, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Well, let's go back now where Mary says in the 34th verse, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost which shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be, not became, but shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her. Notice what it says. It doesn't say who was barren, but who was called barren. You know, if you're without Christ, there is no fruitfulness in your life, none whatsoever. It could be said of you that you're called barren. And it says here, for with God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, it is unto me according to thy word. Well, we turn into Elizabeth now in the 41st verse, and it says, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, we trust tonight that if you are without Christ, that tonight you would be indwelt by the Spirit of God. You know, I had a young man that worked for me. Don't have any men now, as of a few months ago. But one of them, most of them were gathered, but one was not the Lord's. And one of my men was up a ladder with him, and He turned to him, this was just a short while ago, and he said to him, Austin, how come you can't come to the Lord? And Austin Wiseman said, it's just too easy. It just seems too easy. Austin came to the hobby class. Austin, we've prayed for. Austin's been spoken to. But as far as Austin's concerned, it is just too easy. If there's someone like that here, you know, it was not easy for the offer of salvation to be held out to you. It cost God his only Son. It cost the Lord Jesus his life on Calvary. His precious blood was shed to wash my sins away and yours too if you'll have him. Oh, that you would be filled with the Holy Ghost like Elizabeth was here. And then we go on to read here where she says, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, and the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. You know, I think of this word believe. First time we read of it is in the book of Genesis. It's in the 15th chapter. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. We have that repeated in the New Testament three times. We have James records it. The Apostle Paul records it in Romans. He records it in Galatians. Abraham believed God. Do you believe? Do you believe? Is that something that you can do? Oh, that you would have the faith to believe. Blessed is she that believed. And there shall be a performance of those things. You know, God is going to complete what he says in his precious word. It's going to happen. Just as Elizabeth could say here that God is going to perform those things, yes, indeed, he's going to complete that which he has started. He's going to complete in your life and mine, and that which we've been taking up those future times. God is going to perform. Well, this woman, she believed. She believed. And we had a scripture read to us, we quoted to us, our brother quoted, you know, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Had a situation happen in my business. Well, I have a granddaughter that's a year, so that's how long ago it was. It was just when she was born. I was working in a man's house, man and a woman, they're elderly. And I was working there with my son-in-law. The two of us were working in a kitchen, and the woman came to me and she said, "You know, Dave, my husband is sick." And actually, he was in a hospital bed in the next room. And she said, "You seem to have a lot more confidence and a lot more peace than anybody at our church. Would you take my husband's funeral?" I thought, "Oh, well." Yeah, I guess these are not believers, and go to a place where I'm not sure that the pastor would be a believer. And she's all about works. And I thought about that, and I went into the living room, and I asked her if she had a Bible. And she said she did. She went and got her Bible, and I opened up, and I read to her the account of the thief on the cross. And you know, I said to her, I said, how much good works could he do? I said he couldn't pay back what he stole. He couldn't even tell somebody sorry for what he stole. Here he is hanging on a cross. And I read the account to her. And I left, and this so impressed her that she took that in and she read it to her husband, who's on his deathbed. And that gave him peace. Man's name is Lyle Gibson, and he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior by his unsaved wife reading this account in Luke's Gospel of the thief on the cross. Marvelous thing. And he believed. My wife went there the next day to take them some buns, and he brightly confessed the Lord. Passed away that week. You know, marvelous to be at his funeral and realize that he's with the Lord. Well, he also was someone that could say, "My Lord." Now, I'm going to stress this. Have you owned Jesus as Lord? Have you owned Jesus as Lord in your life? Are you able to say, like Mary said, like Elizabeth said, "My Lord"? Let's go back now to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Where we read another one who says, "My Lord," and it's Thomas. We're often hard on Thomas, and it's because of this portion. We don't hear as much of this portion as we do some of the others. We're thankful for the questions that Thomas asked. Thomas was the disciple that was always the spokesperson for the disciples when they were despondent. That's the time that we hear Thomas piping up. And so, you know, when the Lord Jesus in the 11th chapter of John said that he was going to go to Jerusalem, the disciples said, well, no, we can't go there. Thomas says, let's go there with him and let's die with him. Thomas is the one, you know, how many people have been blessed through Thomas's question where he says, Lord, how can we know the way? And the response is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A question that Thomas asked. Wonderful. But usually when we hear and we think of Thomas, it's this portion. And so what do we read about this portion? Here we said in the 24th verse, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Oh, is there someone here tonight? And that's your words. I will not believe. I will not believe. Thomas here, he wouldn't believe. He had to see it. He just needed to thrust his finger into the print of the nails and thrust his hand into his side. He said, I will not believe. Well, after 8 days, again his disciples were within, Thomas with them. 26th verse, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord, my God. You know, that's beautiful. It's the only disciple that says that out of all of them. Beautiful. My Lord. You know, sometimes we worry. Perhaps there's someone here, someone younger, and you're just maybe wondering if you're really saved or not. You know, it's interesting. I told you the story about that man that passed away. Well, right after he passed away, I thought I'm going to go to his widow's house and just check in on her. And I went there. This is just a couple days before the funeral, so this is all happening pretty quick. We're working there. She asked me to take the funeral. He's alive for another couple days. He passes away. I have a daughter, this granddaughter that's born. And then I turn up at the house. I ring the doorbell. And she comes to the door, and I just said, Shirley, how are you? She said, Dave, I've just been reading my Bible. And I just asked God to forgive me of all my sins. Do you think he has? Do you think he has? Isn't that wonderful when a simple soul simply asks the Lord Jesus to forgive them of their sins? And it's almost too good to be true. And she was asking me, is that how easy it is? And I assured her. We opened up the Word that she had. She had her Bible open there on the sofa inside the house. She asked God to forgive her of all her sins. And she wondered if God would do it. You know, dear soul, tonight, have you done that? Have you just simply asked God, repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you of your sins? You know, it's true. It's almost too good to be true. You know, I sat there this morning and through that breaking of bread, and I hardly wanted to open my mouth lest I spoil the beautiful scene that we had this morning. I was choked up a number of times just thinking of the Lord Jesus in his extremity. What a humbling thing to sit there this morning and to be able to answer to the dying request of that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, as he said, this do in remembrance of me. What a marvelous thing. What a marvelous portion was ours this morning. And perhaps you were sitting there this morning, and you were sitting there in your sins. That's how simple. This woman that I was just talking about, she said, I just asked. You know, it's interesting. A couple of days later was the funeral. Took the funeral. She and her husband's with the Lord. It's interesting. His grave marker was right beside another one that said, ironic, this grave marker, and it says, I don't know who the man was, but his grave marker said, I have seen the many mansions. And I thought, beautiful. And here's this man that we laid to rest right beside him with the Lord. His wife beaming there that she's the Lord's. I don't know if there's anybody else there that was the Lord's. Maybe one or two. What a wonderful thing. And she's just so thankful. I don't believe any of her family was. But she knew that her sins were gone. And it was interesting because I was talking to another one of my customers. And I told her the story. And she knew the woman. She was delighted because of it. And she said, you know, that skepticism or that doubt as to whether God would forgive her of all her sins. This is a woman that's 70 years old. And she said to me, when I was in high school, I worked at a department store. And one of the things they taught us in that department store were there was people in the town of Smith Falls that would come in and steal. And this woman was one of them. And she said, they taught us to follow these people. And this customer of mine used to follow this older lady. And she says, that's why she's wondering if God is going to forgive her of all her sins. You know, she's at peace now. That's my wife. She visits with her all the time and has little studies with her. Marvelous. Those that are able to say, my Lord, my Lord. Thomas said, my Lord. No argument, no big long story, just my Lord and my God. Have you said that tonight? Have you said that in your life? Let's turn to the last one. It's in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, the Christian pathway, it's not a competitive thing. You think of every scenario in the sports world that's competitive. Doesn't matter whether you're playing ping pong or whether you're playing tennis or any of the group sports. There's got to be a winner and a loser. The pathway of faith, everyone can win. Everyone can win. What are you substituting in this present time for that which is going to last for all eternity? What are you substituting? You know, here the Apostle Paul, he could say, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, the Apostle saw the Lord Jesus. Mary saw the Lord Jesus. Elizabeth, she knew and was affected by our Lord that was in the womb of Mary. Thomas saw the Lord Jesus. All these ones saw the Lord. None of us here have. What we have is this precious book. Everything is based on this book. But dear one, it's a living book. It's alive. It's really, truly alive. And for those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus, we know how much it affects us, and we know what kind of effect it has on us when we don't read it. It's really, truly alive. You know, I'm just going to tell this one other story before I commit us to the Lord. This happened just a few months ago. I was, my wife was in Florida, and I came out of the bank, and there's this man standing outside of the bank. We don't see this in Smith Falls very often, where there's someone that's asking for money. This man was tattered and torn, greasy hair, just obvious addictions, in rough shape. And he just said to me, he said, can you spare me a bit of change? I'm hungry. And I can't fix everything in this world. I kept walking, got up to my truck, and when I got there, it was like the Lord was saying, maybe you better deal with this one. And I kind of took a deep breath and said, okay. And anyway, he started to walk up the street. When he got to my truck, I said to him, hey, you want to go for something to eat? Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. He said, hop in the truck. So he hops in the truck, and the two of us go off to a fast food. And on our way over, I said to him, you know, I asked him his name. His name was Gary. I said, you know, Gary, you've got a story, and I've got a story. Let's share each other's stories, and you can decide who goes first. He said, sure. So we get to the restaurant, and we get our sandwiches, and we go sit in the booth, and he looks at me. He said, I'll go first. I said, sure. He said, you're going to think I'm really weird. I said, try me. He said, well, you're really going to think I'm strange. He said, you picture the scene, okay? There's a booth there. I'm sitting there with a sandwich. He's sitting there with a sandwich. He's looking pretty rough. It's my dime. And he turns to me and he says, I'm what they call a Christian. Not exactly what I'm expecting. And I thought, well, and he starts to tell me a story. I thought, I'm just going to let him go. He said, I never knew my parents, never knew them. I went from foster home to foster home to foster home, and every one of them was a Christian home. And had the Word of God read to me. And I was saved from my sins when I was young. He said, I got older, I got married a wonderful woman, had four children, and I'm still letting him go. Okay, he's got no idea I'm the Lord's. He said, I got in with a bad crowd at work, and I started to drink. And he said, immediately, I became an alcoholic. And he said, it just so affected me. I just needed that drink. I needed it, and I needed it. And I get up in the morning, and so before 7 o'clock in the morning, I had to have that first drink. And he said, it led to other addictions. And he said, it cost me my job. He said, it cost me my house. It cost me my wife. It cost me my children. I ended up a homeless, helpless wreck on the street. But he said, a few weeks ago, God put it in my heart to start to read my Bible again. And you know, it transformed him. He said, at that point, I kicked in and told him he was talking to a brother in Christ. It was very, very interesting. And he said, you know, I've got these addictions. I'm trying to get over them. And it's hard, but I've got something that's real now. And it's the Word of God, and it's real. And dear one here tonight, it's the only thing we have that's real, is this precious book. It's what my entire life of faith is based on, and everyone here, that's what it's based on. What about you tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you said those words? My Lord. Is he your Lord? You know, I stand here, a happy man, knowing Jesus as my Lord. I've bowed the knee now. We're all going to bow, every one of us, at some point. And there's so many here tonight that have bowed. Oh, won't you bow just like Mary stooped? Won't you bow tonight? Your hard heart that we trust God is making soft as we started tonight. Oh, we just pray that that would be so. As we just consider those four people that said those words, my God, May it be put into your heart tonight, and that you would turn to the Lord Jesus, just as Shirley Gibson did. And she asked God to forgive her of her sins. And yes, he's done it. Oh, may you come to the Lord Jesus tonight.